The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and go back, and let's reread these scriptures here, where the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Then it says in verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger," it says, "lest they be discouraged." All right, or lest they be discouraged. Now, think about this. We're going to talk about the destruction of the family unit. You know, we had a lot of crop when I was coming up as a young fella, especially over on the farm where David and Myrtle Wagner was, that raised me the first couple years of my life. And so we had different fields that was designated, and we would rotate the fields around. We had, we had hay, and we had corn, and we had wheat, and we had so many other various crops, and we would rotate them from year to year, and sometimes we would, let a field completely rest, and that way it would rejuvenate itself and be able to get better. And so these things we did, and I understood that there was the soil, and there was the seed, and our job as young as we were was to take that seed and to get that seed into the soil. If you do not get the seed into the soil, it's not going to germinate. It's not going to give that which is fruit, or would not be able to give production. And so the job of the farmer was to take the soil, even though it might be hard or it might be difficult to penetrate, and to break that soil up to the point and to the place where you could take that seed, place that seed into the soil, and then, of course, later on, you would have the fruit. Now, can I tell you, the family is that way also. The family, as you see the families across our nation, you see that our families are that which is like the soil. I mean, everybody has everything in common as far as a family that is a biblically structured family designed by God has in common. But then you see also that there's that which is the seed. The seed is the Word of God. I, as a preacher, much like the farmer, have a responsibility, is to be able to come in and to be able to take that seed and to try to get that seed firmly implanted into that which is the soil so that you have a better product, a more Christ-honoring product. But in order to do that, the Holy Spirit has to break up the fallow ground, if you will. The Holy Spirit has to, and that's where the preacher yields himself to the best of his ability and his knowledge to be able to be used of God as a vehicle whereby God can be able to help the family, and so that he does not become a stumbling block to the family to be able to grow into what God would have the family to be in being a Christ-honored, God-centered home. Here we see that many times instructions could be taken wrong, such as there was a lady by the name of Dorothy Aaron. Dorothy Aaron was down in California. She'd only been gone for a week. She was taking a vacation time in another area in California, and she came back, and she found out that her house had been demolished. Her house was gone. I mean, there's nothing left of the house. I mean, it's just a pile of rubbish, just a pile of sticks, and just a pile of what was remained. So she frantically got upset, as you could imagine. And so she contacted the company that had demolished the home and said, "What in the world did you do?" And come to find out, oops, wrong address. Somebody took the wrong address and destroyed that lady's home. Now, can I tell you, the devil would like nothing more than for you to get wrong information that would destroy your home. The devil would like nothing more than to be able to see your marriage wrecked. They say that 40% of all first marriages in the United States of America end in divorce. 60% of all second marriages in the United States of America end in divorce. And 70% of all third marriages in the United States end in divorce. Did you know, I believe with all my heart, that if we were to take the seed, the right seed, which is the Word of God, and allow it to enter into that which is the soil of our hearts, the soil of our homes. I believe if we would allow the Holy Spirit of God to break up that which is a hard exterior and allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives, I believe that you would see some different decisions that's made in our individual lives, in our hearts, and inside of our home. We had James Gates and Ashley Dole that came together as husband and wife on this platform this past Friday. And did you know they were so excited about becoming husband and wife? But can I tell you, I know others that are almost just as excited of trying to break up. Can I tell you that God's design is for you, once married, to stay married, and may I say, to have a happy marriage. We understand that a nation is simply a group of homes. We understand that the city is simply a group of homes. We understand that in states and in churches, there are groups of homes. And so we also understand, however, that the devil would like to destroy those homes, and the devil will put you under excessive pressure. He would like to disintegrate your home. He would like to crumble your home. He would like to take and make sure that your home is totally worthless. Homes, I believe, need to bring back the Bible. I believe homes need to be restored in putting that which is Bible principles in their homes. I believe homes need to be rededicated. I believe that if you can play together, you certainly also can pray together. Somebody said this, that marriage gets better after the first 100 years. Now, can I tell you, that means that probably there's room for improvement. I believe that every single person that is in Christ ought to work on their relationships. You know, relationships you have to tweak. Did you know that? You know, relationships you have to work on all the time. You're not going to have the marriage that you desire and, yea, deserve without putting a lot of effort and a lot of work in it. The Bible talks about what marriage is. And may I say this so that there's not a confusion as to what the Bible teaches about the institution of marriage. I cover this now in every wedding that I have because we are having a society that is going through role changes now. And so I feel compelled to bring this out so that our young people do not get confused about what God says a marriage ought to be. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, the Bible says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And all the men said..." That wasn't good enough. "And all the men said..." Amen. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. Now, by the way, can I tell you, God is making somebody for you as a lady that is just for you. And he's not making a mistake on who he makes. And he's not going to make a mistake on the timing that it takes to bring him or her into your presence. And the Bible tells us what that should be like. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for man, he should be alone." The Bible says, "I will make him," it says, "and help meet for him." All right? Then who is that help meet? Who is the help meet that God has made for him? All right? Let me give it to you in the Bible. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which made them," sounds like what he was just talking about, "made them at the beginning, made them male and female." Amen. All right, so now we see who God's talking about. And then the Bible goes on and it says, "And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." The Bible says, "And they twain shall be one flesh. All right? So we understand that God is talking about male and female. We understand that when they come together in marriage, that God joins them in holy matrimony, and now they become one flesh. Now we understand how God consummated that which is marriage, and how God is the one that created that institution, He Himself. So there's no confusion about who is supposed to marry who as far as genders are concerned. But now what is the confusion? Why is it that people are losing their homes? Why is it that people are losing their marriages? What is it that is interrupting this great godly plan that God Himself has put into play? What is it that is causing people to lose their spouses, never to regain them again? What is it that's causing them to lose their children, never to be able to regain them again? What is it? Let me give you just four things to think about. Number one, disorder. Disorder. Now, when I say disorder, that means out of order. Disorder or unordered. You know, sometimes I know that we had our missionaries that came, and we took them over to Five Guys to eat. And what an experience we had. And so we took all of our missionaries in to eat, you know. Now, you understand that the girls' home was here. You understand missionaries was here, and they had their wives and their children and whatnot. And so we went to Five Guys to eat. And so we all stood in line. And so everybody's giving their order, giving their order, giving their order, giving their order, giving their order. And so there's probably 30-some people that gave their orders. Well, normally, at that particular restaurant and other restaurants, like if you go to, I think it's called In-N-Out, you know, and other burger joints, normally what they do is they'll give you a receipt for your order, and then they call your number, you step up, you get your order, hey, and it's great. But they put all of our orders on one. And so, and people are ordering specialty type of stuff. Like one person saying, no pickles. Another person saying, extra ketchup, please. The other person is saying, extra onions, please. The other person is saying, if you would please, if you would give me some jalapenos and cut them, if you would please, specifically in eighths. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, it was specifically that they gave their orders. And so now it came time to be able to hand out the orders, and there was no individualized numbers that was handed out. So there wasn't like number 23, number 24, number 25, number 26. It was like, okay, your order is ready. And you get all these bags that has all these burgers in them, and they're all very, very much individualized. Now, can I tell you there was a little bit of confusion? Can I tell you they had to open those burgers back up and find out individually, okay, who had, and they had to read off, and it took quite a long time for people to be able to get their burgers. Now, I want you to identify with something here. Did you know that God, when He constituted the family, God put His not only authority over it, but God put His hand in it to be able to work. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can mess things up because we take things out of order. We take things away that we think is not important, but when you take those things away that you think is not important, you begin to reap the whirlwind because those things are very, very much important. Now understand this. Here was a disorder. Here was something that was not in an orderly fashion. Now, the Bible talks to the wives here in addressing the wives, where it talks about this. The Bible says in verse 18, wives, it says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, the word submit is not a bad word. It simply means to come under and to lift up. But yet the Bible also talks about in Ephesians, verse chapter 5, where it talks about to reverence. That means you're supposed to reverence your husband. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to respect him. But that's not just for the husband. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 that there should be a mutual respect. There should be a mutual even submission in many different areas. So understand, there has to be an order. If something is not orderly done, then it becomes a disorder. You don't hear about the one world disorder. You hear how some are trying to put together a one world order because they think that the world is in disorder. I submit to you, where your will goes, your heart will follow. Where your will goes, your heart will follow. That's how come our Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where you put your investment is where your heart does follow. So we have to decide first off that we want our households to be in order. That we want things to be done right. Even when God created the world, he created the world decently and in order. After each day, he looked at it and he said, it is good. All right? Now, can I tell you, you ought to be able to look at your family and say, it is good. You ought to be able to look at that and say, things are fine. You know, because there needs to be some orderly fashion. My precious wife gets up and early in the mornings, and she will have that which is her duty that she has chosen to do for her husband in the ironing of clothes. And I thank God for that. Because she irons my clothes, I look orderly today. Things are in proper order today. There's been times, however, when I've gone to camp, and there's been times when I camp out, and can I tell you, in camping out, when we have our father or our father and sons camp out, or we have our men and boys camp out, can I tell you, I don't bring an iron. I really don't care what those fellas think about me. We're out in the woods, and I'm not going to try and impress a mosquito. I don't care if the squirrels run by my tent and stare at me. Doesn't bother me one bit soever. And by the way, if you have more of a wrinkled shirt than less of a wrinkled shirt when you're out camping, you have the possibility of being less snake bit. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I like it, amen. So there is a time to be able to put things in order. You know, we dress up for important things. When I take my wife on a fancy, out-to-date type of deal, did you know there are certain type of restaurants that I'll take her to? I just kind of dress up. You know, we dress up for things that's important to us. Now, can I tell you, your marriage and your home ought not to be that which is in disarray. Hey, there ought to be some order about it. It ought not to be disorderly. And God here is talking to the family. Mostly you see that there's a direction to the wives. Why is that? Well, can I tell you, the way not to impress your husband is if you're home all day long and your husband walks in and he has to trip over 92 stacks of clothes in order to find the living room. There's something not orderly about that. I'm not getting any help whatsoever. But make sure, come on, you fellas, man up, help me, would you? You know, make sure that things are done orderly. You know, when you go to cook that wonderful, spectacular, fantastic, just phenomenal meal that your husband loves and that is favorite. You know, if you don't put all the ingredients in there, we could pretty much say it's out of order. It's disorderly. When the grandkids come over, or when your kids are done playing in the playroom, it would be quite right, correct, and within reason and orderly for them to pick up after themselves. As your kids get older, look, did you know as a teenager, your mom ought not have to fold your clothes? You're a teenager. If you don't learn to do it now, you probably never will. So you have to do things orderly. As a teenager, you ought to learn to iron your own clothes. Orderly. Well, you know, my mom does. Oh, stop it. Stop it. If anything else, you should be ironing her clothes. Thank you, Brother Mason. God bless you. Now, I'm saying this. There's problems in the home, and the home is disintegrating. Why? Because of disorder. Statement number two, because of disunity. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Now, by the way, that's union, unity. It's talking about coming together. Disunity is not coming together. So problems in the home many, many times is disunity. Husbands, love your wives, and watch what it says, be not bitter against them. You say, well, why does God say that? Because sometimes guys more than gals hold it in. And you'll let it build. You won't say anything, and she says everything. Every time she disagrees with you, she'll let you know. Every time you disagree with her, you hold it in. And all of a sudden, it begins to build and build and build until you say something, and normally, it's something you should not say. And you get yourself in trouble. The Bible says, and be not bitter against them. Don't be somebody that calls disunion or disunity inside of the home. You know, love, somebody said, is the glue that holds the family together. Love is the glue that holds the family together. Now, we're talking about that which is being able. Love ought to be unconditional. Love ought not to have strings. Love ought not to make demands that you're not willing to fulfill yourself. Yes, love ought to be faithful. It ought to be tender. It ought to be delicate. It ought to be something that you decide. By the way, you ought to treat your wife as VIP. Amen. I'm putting together, and Brother Marlon Smith of The Sword is helping me, and I appreciate him. He's the executive vice president of The Sword and Dr. Shelton Smith's son. So I called Dr. Smith up, and I said, I need maybe some help on this, and I would like to be able to use some things that you're using at The Sword. And he said, okay. He said, got my permission full-fledged. And he said, Marlon heads that up. And I've known Marlon many years ago. He was, of course, has always been his father's son. But, I mean, he grew up in that household. And, of course, I grew up in Maryland going to the same church, stuff like that. So I called Marlon. I said, now, Marlon, can you help me with this? And he said, man, I'd be delighted to. So he's helping me to put together for our Bible college a VIP program. Now, can I tell you, a VIP program means very important person. And did you know that your husband to you ought to be a very important person? Your wife to you ought to be a very important person. Your children ought to be very important people. As parents to your child, and the child to the parents, ought to look and say, Mom and Daddy are very important people. A marriage. Now talk about it and think about it. A marriage, it's a commitment. Marriage is caring for each other. Marriage is providing for each other. Marriage is being unselfish with each other. Marriage is being kind towards each other. And by the way, are you listening to me? As strong as your marriage is as secure as your children will feel. So if your marriage is strong, it gives your children more security. Come on, what does your children say about you? Here it is. You ready? Here it is. Behind your back. How do they identify your marriage? Do they say, boy, I tell you, Mom and Dad. Oh, Mom and Dad, they love each other. Is that what they say? Or do they say, Mom and Dad, they're always fighting and fussing. You know, pans are being heaved across the room. You know, neighbors are hearing us five blocks over. You know, every time Dad comes home and Dad is in a bad mood, he takes that on Mom, and Mom gets the baseball bat and chases him around the neighborhood. I grew up in Maryland, and oftentimes, more than not, we go down to the Chesapeake. And we had a friend of the family, not a relative, a friend of them. His name was Bob. His wife's name was Rose. And they had boats. They had fishing boats. And we would go out and we'd go soft crab. You know, of course, we would net them and stuff. And we would eat crabs and hard shell and soft crab, soft shell. And so we would bring them back and we'd fix them and we'd eat them. And I remember one time only. Do I remember? But it really happened. All of a sudden, Bob said something to his wife, Rose. And Rose did not like what Bob said to Rose. And I remember this. I mean, I was a young kid, but I remember this. I remember they started yelling. They started hollering at each other. They started spewing out all sorts of curse words, and I never even knew was in the dictionary. I mean, they started saying all sorts of stuff. They're hollering, they're yelling at each other, and it got heated. All of a sudden, crabs begin to fly, and crabs, dear people, are not supposed to fly. And crabs begin to fly, then all of a sudden, you know, and we always play softball when we was down there, and I saw all of a sudden Rose head toward the bat. And I thought, this is not going to be a good scene. So I just went back into the tent. We always had these tents that was outside in his backyard. Had a huge backyard, and that's where we always did the crabs and stuff. And so she went over there towards the diamond that was over on the side. She grabbed that bat, and Bob said, "You would not dare." Now, you know what that means, don't you? In the heat of a battle, when you say, "You would not dare," what you're saying is, "Hit me." Boy, Rose grabbed that bat, and she began to chase Bob around the whole complex. It was a big place. She chased him. One time he hid, and she opened the trunk of the car, chased him around to the trunk of the car after she found out where he was hiding, made her own husband get in the trunk of the car and shut the trunk. And my dad had to talk Rose out of letting her husband out of the trunk. Now, can I tell you, that's not a good marriage. You know, you ought to decide that you're going to not have a house that's in disorder, that you're not going to have a house that's in disunity. You know, the Catholic Church said this for many years. I don't know if they still say it or not, but they said it for many years. You give us a child until he's 9 years of age, and he will always be a Catholic. You give us a child until he's 9 years of age, and he will always be a Catholic. You know why? Because they were working together to keep the child. There was a unity there. And can I tell you, most of the times, even in our Baptist churches today, people do not work together. We live, and I'm being very honest, but we live in such an isolated society. You know, the West is its own, I believe, worst enemy. Because everybody comes to church, and can I tell you, reality, and if you'll let me preach to you for another hour, I'll get it all out. But can I tell you, reality is this, when we come to church, reality in the West, I'm not picking on you, don't get upset. But you know, reality in the West is this, and I preach in churches all over, but reality of the West is this, we come by ourselves, we sit by ourselves, we leave by ourselves. Now, come on, we are going to be friendly when it comes to handshaking time, because after all, that's what we do. I mean, it's expected. Somebody comes up to you and they say, "How you doing?" You don't say, you smile a little bit, extend the hand halfway out. But then we wonder why we don't have friends. The reason we don't have friends is maybe because we're living on our own island. Now, you don't have to go up and push yourself into other people's lives, but I'll tell you what, if you want to get to know somebody, you've got to enter in. You have to. There are certain preachers in this country of ours, U.S., that I have chosen to get to know. Now, I could sit in my desk all day long and say, "I'd sure like to get to know them. I wish I could get to know them. I wish I could be able to spend some time with them." I don't do that. You know what I do? I write them a note. I write them a letter. Call them on the phone. "Hey, brother, just wanted to say hi. I want you to know I'm praying for you, praying for your family. How you doing?" I'm entering in. In most dysfunctional families, the problem is we allow people just to be alone. Husbands come home, they're alone. You know, it's almost like this. Most homes in America are like hotels. You check in to sleep and you check out to leave. It's like hotels. And can I tell you, that is not the way God wants your home to be. God wants your home to be a home of order and a home of unity. The problem is we are homes of disorder. We are homes of disunity. Let me give you two more real quick. We're homes of disrespect. Now he brings it down to the children. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, children, it says, obey your parents in all things. It doesn't say obey your parents in the things that you think you should obey them in. See, if you would get this down, here's what this is doing. This is breaking up fallow ground. As long as you have the hard exterior ground, you can't go any farther than that. You can't put any seed in a ground that rejects the seed. So when the Word of God comes to us, and the Word of God, here's what the Word of God's trying to do. The Word of God, I tell you what, I love chopped salad. I love it. Sometimes I'll get my lunch over here at Subway, the gas station, and I send the secretary over or whatever, and I say, get me the chopped salad. Man, Brother West, they'll put that salad together, and I like the tuna. And so I'll get the tuna in there, and they put the tuna in there. They mix it all up. I really like that. And then, boy, they just chop it and 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 chop it. And you know, it's great stuff. I like that. Now, you say, what does that have to do with the message? I'll tell you what it has to do with the message. You find out what your parents like, and you be a part of fulfilling it. You know, your parents have likes and dislikes. Now, isn't it funny? When your parent does something that you don't like, you get mad. But you don't expect your parents to get upset when you do something they don't like. See, we live in such a me society. It is me. Come on. Hey, you like it when I preach a message that doesn't touch your sin. When I preach a message that touches somebody else's sin and you know their sin, you're sitting there saying, yeah, he got them. He got them. He got them. Boy, he got them. Boy, that is so good. I hope that they were listening. Come on. But all of a sudden, when the preacher steps on your toes, sits in your lap, spits in your eyeball, you're saying this. You're saying, well, that's not right. Come on. Here we go. Listen. There's that disrespect. Children, obey your parents. It says, in all things, don't be selective. Your mom and daddy says, hey, look, I don't want you to fold your clothes that way. I want you to fold your clothes this way. What you ought to do is smile, get a big old goober smile on your face, and say, oh, yes, ma'am, I would be delighted to. Yes, ma'am, I'd be honored to. Dad says, hey, look, I don't want you to mow the lawn with the direction of the mower going this way because I don't like the lines that way. I want the lines to go this way. You say, well, my dad ought to be thankful I'm even mowing the lawn, that lazy bum. Now, you would never say that because you would not be alive here today. But you thought it. See, I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, if your dad wants it mowed a certain way, get your opinion out of it. Just obey in all things. Well, that's just the way he wants it done. Yeah, he's paying for your bed right now. Those clothes that you're angry about not folding a certain way, your mama bought those. Amen. Hey, mom and dad says, take out the trash, but I want you to take it out on Tuesday night at 8:32 1/4. Then you be setting by the clock and look for 8:32 1/4 and say, it's time, and take it out. Amen. If they say, I want you to use the brown bags, not the gray bags, do it. Amen. If they say, close the refrigerator after you get something out of it, do it. Amen. If they say, I want you not to use the crushed ice, but the other ice, do it. If they say, hey, I want you to make your bed and your brother's bed, do it. I want you to feed our dog and the other three dogs on the corner of the street. Do it. Hey, when you come home today, guess what you get to do? You get to climb up on the roof and rake off all the leaves. she says to the three-year-old son. Don't do it. Look, I'm saying this. There's that disrespect, however. You know, the reason that we have so many juvie courts that's filling up and juvenile detentional shelters is simply because of one thing: a child chooses not to obey. You know, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Right. Amen.
So he said the way to please the Lord is obey your parents. Right. How do I obey my parents? When do I obey my parents? In all things.
Amen.
You just decide to obey them. Make them happy. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Just make them happy. Man, look at dad and say, man, dad's had a bad day. Wonder what I could do. Wonder how I could help him. Wonder how I could encourage him. Wonder what I could do to bring a smile to dad's face. Look at dad's dress shoes. Do they need shining? Look at mom. Can you do anything to help and to encourage? Give her a rose. Give her candy. Open the car door for her. Vacuum out the car. Help her to cook. Fold the clothes. Put them away. Do something. I'm saying this. There's the disrespect. Let me give you one last one, and I'm done. We're running out of time. Discouragement. Now they come to the Father. Now the Holy Spirit and God says, pay good attention here. He says this, fathers, provoke not your children, watch it now, to anger. It says, lest they be discouraged. I've even seen dads unwisely provoke their three-year-old children to anger. They just pick on them and pick on them and pick on them and pick on them until the kid, and then dad sits there and he laughs, but can I tell you something? He's going to stop his laughing when that child turns a teenager. You know, they say that most children learn the most about how to behave and respond between the ages of 1 and 4. Between the ages of 1 and 4. You teach them how to obey between the ages of 1 and 4, I think you've won half the race. I didn't say all the race. You don't win all the race until they get married. They married the right one. Hello. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying here it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You know, you can frustrate your kids. You got this little baby that's crawling. We have a son, a grandson, Andrew. He's crawling, he's standing up. Okay, you know how we could provoke Andrew, little kid, to anger? Put a toy out there that he loves, let him start to crawl to get it, and pull it away. Crawl to get, pull it away. Crawl to get, pull it away. Crawl to get, pull it away. Crawl to get it, pull it away. You know what we're doing? Frustrating. You put that in a kid long enough, hard enough, that becomes the kid. That becomes the kid. Now, wait a minute, watch this. I'm done. Here it is. But you can't blame your parents if your parents did that to you, because there is a Holy Spirit. Let me say this. I watched my dad. Dad drank. I watched him come home, beat mom, beat us. Watch this. When I looked at that, here's what I said. Wasn't a saved boy. I made a decision. At age 16, here's what I said. I said, nope, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to go that way. Watched my dad, my mom, they smoked, had emphysema. They died, of course, you know, had a cancer. I watched them. I watched them. Wasn't saved, but I made a decision. As an unsaved boy, I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. Just not going to. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to die that way. I was unsaved. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. Unsaved kid said that. Watch this. Here you go. I watched this. I heard this all the time in the house. Yelling, screaming, yelling, hollering, screaming, hollering. This is a decision I made after I got saved. I said, God, if you'll help me, when I get married, I'll never yell at my wife. Never. She could attest to it to this day. Is this right, honey? I've never yelled at her. I said, I will never yell at my kids. Ever yelled at you guys? No. Now that's by God's grace. I didn't do it. I didn't yell. I don't have to. Plus, I don't want to. See, can I tell you this? Look, you can discourage people. You can't do this, however. Watch this. I'm done. You can't do that. It's not fair. It's called passing the buck. You can't do it. Well, I tell you what, I am what I am today because that's the way my dad was. I'm sorry, there's a dead Holy Spirit. I'm sorry in your life. My Holy Spirit's very much alive. The more I yield myself to Him, the more He helps me to be Christ-like. Christ-like. You know, well, I tell you what, I'm that way because that's the way Mom was. Easy out. No excuse, though. Doesn't take. Just doesn't take. I love dealing with people because here's what people say. Here's what people say. Well, I tell you, I am what I am because that's the way my parents was. I said, what are you talking about? Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my story. Well, I am what I am because I had a brother that, hey, My oldest brother's in heaven, dealt drugs out of the basement. Let me tell you my story. See, life is about your choices. Your choices. Your choices. You don't have a pastor up here that, I came up in the independent Baptist movement, was raised in the nursery. Went through the elementary, junior high, high school. I did not. I didn't. What happened to me is I came in contact with a holy God. Amen. Through a soul winner that cared, showed me how to be saved, bowed my heart, received Jesus Christ as Savior, and I said, I'm in. I'm in. I know I'm going to go to heaven. God went to Bible. Man, I went to my pastor one day and said, look, I don't know much about the Bible. I want to be able to get it quick because I'm already behind. What do I do? Man, I've started late. Everybody else is way out there ahead of me. Man, they know the Bible. We were not even allowed to have a Bible in the house. I'm behind. What do I do? He said, well, to expedite it. I knew what the word meant. He said, to expedite it, you probably need to consider Bible college. I said, so what does that mean? He said, that's where you go, and they juice you up quick. Well, I needed juice. So I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I went for one reason. I loved God, wanted to know His word, where I could obey Him. That's it. That's it. Never went to Bible college to become a pastor. Now, God had different plans. But I went to Bible college because I didn't know the book. He said, that's the fastest way to learn the book. I said, okay, I'm in. I love Him that much, but I don't understand Him. Love Him that much, want to obey Him. I don't know how to obey Him. Man, I'm behind. So if that's the quickest way to be able to catch up, man, I'm in. Count me in. And so they said, pray. I was so stupid back then. I didn't know nothing. I mean, that was crazy. You know, he said this, evangelist I met, I'm done. He said, pray and fast, and God will show you. Fast. Well, I knew what fast was. I ran track. Now you're talking my language. I know what fast is. So I put it together. Pray, fast. I got it. I got it. Hey, I'm sharp. I got it. Pray fast. So I get down And I had a stopwatch. Hey, I was serious about serving God. I didn't know. I just did not know. God saw my heart. You know, he said, I'll use somebody like you. And so, man, I have stopwatch. You're going to think your dad's crazy, but he has stopwatch. Hope I don't embarrass Jerry or Becca. But I have stopwatch for Josh or their wives or grandkids. Or my wife, or her mother. Had a stopwatch. I'd hit it, Brother Palmore, I'd hit it, and dear God, God heard that one. That one made it, man, right there. That's where I was. I'm serious. I just wanted to please God. Whatever God showed me, I just wanted to do it. And by the way, I'm still that way today. Now, I understand you don't have to pray fast. I'm so glad about that. Can you imagine at 55 how hard that would be? You drop, you wouldn't get up that fast. I'm saying this. We can make our homes what our homes ought to be. God gives us a formula. You just got to follow it. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.